all about you. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's a word that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself, it's not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and I'm poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. Raise your hands to him this morning.
I'll sing more than a song, for a song in itself, that's not what you have required.
I certainly feel that way this morning. We have just a very, very few prayer requests this morning, and I'm going to ask Brother Wes Willis, if he don't mind, to come take these to the Lord. Just a testimony here. The little boy we requested prayer for on Wednesday night went back to school all day. His mother never got a call. Thank you, Lord. Amen. If you wasn't here, that was a little child we requested prayer for on Wednesday night. Families aren't believers, and he's having just a real problem getting started with life, and a lot of tormenting things, but looks like the Lord's moving. Let's continue to pray for that little boy's name is Silas. Let's remember him. I want to thank God for answering prayer for a family that we've been praying for almost 4 years. He answered just in time, as he always does. Sister Sue Miller turned that in, so thank the Lord for that. And that's it this morning. So if we could stand, I guess we're just praising the Lord. If you've got a need this morning, lift your hands to the Lord. Brother West, take these needs here to the Lord. Thank you, buddy.
Let's bow our heads. Father, we're supposed to enter your gates with thanksgiving in our heart. Lord, there's no problem with that whatsoever. Even on our darkest day, Lord, we can praise you from the very bottom of our heart because of everything that you've done. From before the beginning of time, Lord, we were in your heart. We were in your mind. You loved us. You saw us down through the countless ages, Lord. You saw us, your people, your children, Lord. Through all of time, through all of everything that's going to go on in the world, you've seen us, you've never left us, you've never forsaken us. Lord, you've given us everything. You've held nothing back from us, Father. You've held nothing at all back from us. You've blessed us in every way imaginable, even after sin entered into this dark world, Lord, and made it this horrible thing that we see around us. You've given us lot and liberty and freedom and salvation, Lord. And you've given us love. And Father, the love that we have one for another is so great. I know that when we entered in this last Wednesday night, when we all focused on that little boy who needed your help and all the other prayer requests, Lord, that were put before you, we all focused on that, Lord, but we didn't focus on it in doubt. We focused on it believing and knowing that you are the God of a sound mind. I have seen you restore those, Lord, who were just completely off the deep end and didn't know one way from the other, up from down. And you can take a mind that's scattered and broken and full of pain and full of stress and full of whatever, Lord, and you can set it on a straight path and you can make everything right that's wrong. Lord Jesus, you're so great, you're so mighty, you're so wonderful. We come to you this morning, Lord, believing, Lord, for everything. All the hands that were raised here this morning. Every one of us has tests and trials that we go through, Father, but you never, ever leave us. You never leave us without a comforter. You never leave us without our Savior and our Lord. Lord God, we know that we can trust you. Just like Brother Donnie was saying, if the answer is no, we can still trust you, Lord. We can still trust you with everything, Father. We know that we are in the best hands there are, the most capable, the most lovely and loving hands there are, your hands, Father. We know that we can trust you with everything in our life and that we have nothing to fear, nothing to regret. Lord, we have nothing to look forward to other than your coming. Father, we thank you so much for a place of worship where we can hear the truth, where we can hear your word, Lord, completely unhindered by the things of the world, by denomination, by religious spirits, Lord. We can come and we can hear the truth. We can eat the pure, pure word, Lord. Thank you so much. Lord, I ask your blessing on this service. I ask your blessing on every need that was in the heart of the believers this morning. I know that we can, without any doubt, receive what you have for us. And we thank you again, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Wes. Are you glad he found you this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Will you sing that verse for us? Amen.
I was on a mountain, wandering from the fountain, when I heard the Savior speak to me. See,
be seated. If the brothers would like to come and lift the offering. This morning we've got a couple of songs. I think the choir and then some of the young folks have a song for us. And then a baby dedication. So a lot to get through this morning. So we'll move right through here. Just one announcement real quick. Sign-up sheets are in the library if you would like to help with the Fall Festival. And if there's any questions at all, see Michael Bailey. So let's remember that. And let's sing that Be Multiplied F. If the choir could go ahead and come and be getting set up and ready to sing. If y'all can come on now. There we go. It's starting to look more like a choir. It's going to be a solo there for a minute. All right. Be multiplied. Let's sing this together. Well, God of mercy, sweet love of mine,
come, don't have much to offer, Holy One. I'm humbled by all that you've done. And even though I walk through the valley, I don't have to fear, no. Call me from my sorrow to gladness. I have you. What more could I want? Raise my faith a little high. Set my spirit on fire. Lord, we're asking you to move. You're the God of restoration, the one who gives salvation. God who calms the seas, the same God who healeth me. You are the one who makes me strong. And even though I walk through the valley, I don't have to fear. Call me from my sorrow to gladness. I have you. What more could I want? Raise my faith a little high. Set my spirit on fire. Lord, we're asking you to move. You're the God of restoration, the one who gives. salvation. Lord, let revival come. Raise my faith a little higher. Set my spirit on fire. Lord, we're asking you to move. 'Cause you're the God of restoration, the one who gives salvation. Lord, let revival come. Let revival come. Revive me, revive me with the joy that you bring, joy that you bring. Revive me with the joy that you bring, joy that you bring. Revive me with the joy that you bring, joy that you bring. Revive me with the joy that you bring, joy that you bring. Revive me with the joy that you bring, joy that you bring. Revive me with the joy that you bring, joy that you bring. Now my hands are on high, set my spirit on fire. Lord, we're asking you to move. 'Cause you're the God of restoration, one who gives salvation.
Started the day with the best of intentions. Now fear comes riding in on the wind. Having some doubts, feeling frustrations. Your thoughts are racing once again. Remember what you learned last time.
It matters where you set your mind. Isn't he God? Isn't he powerful? Isn't he faithful and mighty and doing the impossible?
It comes down to
greater.
unto his word. Think on his goodness. His love for you will never change.
Keep looking up, 'cause you will find it matters where you set your mind.
Isn't he God? Isn't he powerful? Isn't he faithful and mighty and doing the impossible?
It comes down to this, all about who he really is. Isn't he, honestly?
Isn't he God? Isn't he your creator? Isn't he your provider?
Your comforter, your Prince of Peace.
Prince of Peace.
Isn't he your mercy giver?
Put your trust now and forever.
He will be everything you need.
Isn't he God? Isn't he powerful? Isn't he faithful and mighty and doing the impossible?
It comes down to this, all about who he really is. Isn't he, isn't he, honestly?
Isn't he God? Isn't he powerful? Isn't he faithful and mighty and doing the impossible?
It comes down to this, all about who he really is. Isn't he, honestly?
Isn't he God?
It comes down to this, all about who he is.
Great, wasn't it? So thankful for the gifts that we have sitting here. I appreciate the people that help pull those gifts out, don't you? Appreciate you guys doing that. You need to do that more. Let's sing My Hope is in the Lord. Brother Donnie gets ready to come this morning. I'm sure that little fox of discouragement is going to take a few more hits this morning. You know, and we can take encouragement in our hope being the Lord. Amen. He never fails us. Let's just sing this together as Brother Donnie comes.
My hope is in the Lord from this time on and nevermore. My hope is in the Lord forevermore. Glad that's where your hope is today. My hope is in the Lord from this time on forevermore. My hope is in the Lord forevermore.
Go ahead and give him a hand. He's worthy of it. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. We have a little baby woman to dedicate today. Brother Ben and Sister Emily, if they'll come and bring their little child, we'll dedicate her to the Lord today.
Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring the little ones to Jesus.
Just a few weeks ago, Brother Ben and Sister Emily came up for prayer, sitting right over there, that the Lord would give them a safe delivery of their child. God would just be with the mom and be with the baby. Here we stand today with a visible manifestation. Now, if you can get it in your mind, it's quite this simple, that one day we were in the mind of God. She stood here with this little baby inside of her body. Through safe delivery, the baby was delivered. Here's the manifestation. One day you was in the mind of God, and you had a safe delivery. So he who brought you here will bring you back home. Amen. We're so thankful, not only for this one, but this one also. The Lord moving for her, being with her. Let's just bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, as we stand here today, Lord, what a great thing that life is. Dear God, we are so grateful that we know the Creator of life, man and all of his wisdom, how smart he thinks he is. He can send all types of rovers and machines out to explore the universe, send things out to take pictures and send it back, and has to this day never been able to make life itself. Lord Jesus, we bring this little daughter of our brother and sister into your presence today. Lord God, we believe that you have given us this awesome responsibility by which we are to bring children into the earth and try to raise them in the fear and the admonition of God. I pray, Lord, you'd be with my brother and sister. May you help them to be able to carry out that duty with all the fervency of a dedicated heart. We bring her to you today, Lord. Dear God, we ask in the name of Jesus, you would just watch over her. If time should tarry, that she'd be old enough to be able to know the choice of right from wrong. May her heart be tender and sensitive towards you. Keep her from the evils and sicknesses and diseases that's so rampant in the day. Lord God, may you watch over, we ask. We dedicate her life to you today. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. God bless you. Let's stand together today as we read the word. Praise the Lord. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. Also Lamentations, chapter 5, verse 17. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Lamentations 5:17, for this our heart is faint, and for these things our eyes are dim, because of the mountain of Zion, which is desolate. The foxes walk upon it. Truly, if there's anything that will break the heart of a son or daughter of God, it's when the former victory that they had with their walk with God is nothing but a memory. Something that they used to have. They used to be so close to God and they used to walk with God. And yet at the same time, we know it's very, very possible that a person can be doing well, excellent, superior, eminent service to the Lord and become discouraged even in doing such. So we all need the grace of God to help us in our walk. Amen. You'd like to be remembered today as we pray over the word. God bless you in your request. Heavenly Father, we love you today. We are so grateful that we once again could be invited into your presence. We who were considered by the Jews to be dogs, we who were not a people, are today the people of God. We who were without a covenant, as far as the Abrahamic covenant, there was nothing about our lives that was worthy. There was nothing about us Gentiles that could be recommended. But you placed a deposit in us before the foundation of the world, which meant that we were redeemable attributes. For that, we are grateful. As we look into your word today, we ask your help. Help me, Lord, shut my mouth to anything that would not be true. Shut my mouth to anything, Father, that would not be a true representation of the gospel. And may my mouth, my lips, my mind, my being be anointed by the Holy Ghost. But Lord, I pray that you'd also anoint the people that they would be able to receive today. It's been good to be here already. The songs we've heard, the praise, the worship to you. But we believe you have some things on your heart today you'd like to speak to us. So we open our ears to you, Father, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you, maybe seated this morning. Let's turn, if you would, to Galatians chapter 6. I find this quite amazing that a person, that has displeased God and fallen short of the glory of God, a person that feels like they've never really arrived to what God wanted them to be, or maybe they have arrived and they've fallen from that position. It's easier to see how they could be become disgruntled and become discouraged with this little fox that we've been talking about for several weeks, this fox of discouragement. But it's as well a paradox how that a person can be doing something for God that is so absolutely pleasing to him, something that he himself accepts it as if though it were a drink offering or an oblation offering, as Paul says about himself, that he was poured out as a drink offering. And you're a man taking his own service of life to the kingdom of God and likening that life to a sacrifice that was accepted in the Old Testament. Not a sacrifice of atonement now, but a sacrifice to where his own life was being poured out. And yet a person could be doing that for the kingdom of God and become so discouraged and so dissatisfied while they are doing so well. Notice this in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, that Paul said, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Let us not be weary in well-doing. Look at the meaning of this word, weary. It is to faint, to be utterly spiritless, to be wearied out or exhausted. So a person can become exhausted in doing well. Now, I didn't put the meaning of this word up well, but it actually means excellent or preeminent or superiority that would reign in what a person is doing. So a person is actually doing something that is superior, and it ranks so high in the eyes of God, but yet they could become so weary in doing such an excellent work. How is that possible? Well, we looked at Jonah last night and how that Jonah had got into that despair of life, and no doubt there was a human element that got involved with Jonah, whether he felt like he was going to be humiliated, embarrassed, or whatever more. But yet Jonah had done a great work for God, but Jonah was very dissatisfied with the outcome or the results. I mean, personally, I don't know of a preacher today that if he went and preached in the city and had over 600,000 converts, I don't know of a one of them that would be telling everybody and the brother. So for me to relate to Brother Jonah, I'll have to ask him one day what he was going through, because I simply can't relate to what the man was fighting. But yet the man was doing well, but somehow it was twisted in his mind. And you know that as mothers, fathers, and we think about doing well, I don't want you to think today about these gifted singers that we just heard, or gifted musicians or preachers that you have heard. But I'd like for you to bring this down, every one of you, on your level, whatever God has called you to be. Because we know for the most part, most of you will never prophesy. Probably a great portion of Happy Valley has never seen visions. Probably many of you have
never seen an angel of God. You've never been anointed. God has never took your mouth and cursed a cancer. God may have never spoken a word directly from His throne through your lips to somebody else. That don't mean He don't love you just as much as He does the person that He does that with. It does not mean that you're not doing a good work. For some of you, it's being a good mother. For some, it's being a good father. It's being a good wife. It's being a good husband. It's being a good deacon, a trustee, or whatever more that God has called you to be. So a person can become weary in well-doing of whatever God has set aside for them to do. And no matter how much that they might look at it and think, well, it never actually measures up to what I think. And that within itself is a great struggle for all of us. I've spent my life, the majority of it, in preaching and trying to help the people of God. Here I am today, a 62-year-old man, and I think of what I've done for the kingdom of God. I don't know. I look at it sometimes, and I think when I read of the lives of great people that maybe we not get to all of it today, but as I was sitting this morning early, and I was reading of great heroes in the Bible, and I couldn't keep from help sitting there, tears pouring out of my eyes, and me weeping and crying and saying, God, what have I ever done? What have I ever accomplished when I will stand beside such people as this? And yet we know we cannot be a Paul, we cannot be a Peter, we cannot be even anyone else really that we go to church with, but we want to do something for Him, do we not? Do we all want to stand there before Him that day and absolutely with no fruit in our hands, nothing that we've done, but all we've done was received and got and received all of our life and did absolutely nothing? Not me, friend. Not me. I don't want to stand there that day. And I'm not looking for reward, Brother Dowell. I'm not asking for reward. I don't do anything that I do for reward's sake. I do it for the sake of my love back to my Lord. I don't do anything. Never one thing have I ever done in my heart that I knowingly did it. Well, if I do this, then God will reward me over there. Never. There's so much that I've done for the kingdom of God, and only the kingdom of God itself will ever reflect what you as a people from this church has done. I don't choose to publish what we do. I don't choose to make it known that we've done this and that and the other, because I do not do it for reward in this life. I do it because I love our Lord Jesus. But yet at the same time, we know that we can be doing well, admirable things for the kingdom of God, and become so discouraged and so disgruntled when we are doing well. Notice Paul said, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now look at this word faint. It is to lose or unloose, to set free, to dissolve, metaphorically to weaken, relax, exhaust, to have one's strength relax, to be enfeebled through exhaustion. So how would a person become exhausted? Well, many times it's by doing well. And they love God, and they love God's people, and they give, and they give, and they do, and they do, and they can become so exhausted in what they are doing, because eternal life, we know, is living for others. And anything that we do in the focus of eternal life, it's going to cost you something. It may cost you sleep at night, because you're a prayer warrior, and you wake up in all hours of the night, or early hours of the morning, and this person comes on your heart, and that person comes on your heart. And people say, oh, I'd love to be a prayer warrior. Are you sure? Are you sure you'd like to be the one that God would wake up all hours of the night and take an hour out of your night and 45 minutes out of this night and then 2.5 hours out of the next night, because God knows that you have a burden on your heart for other people and God will take something from you? Remember, God is not going to use us at our convenience. We want God to use us at our convenience. Okay, God, I'm generally up by 8. Anywhere between 8 and 10, anything I can do for you, I'll be glad to do it, Lord. But please don't wake me up early, because you know I'm not a morning person. God, please don't wake me up at 2 o'clock, because I have a hard time going back to sleep. Don't worry, He won't wake you up. He'll let you sleep on. But God is willing for a person to say, God, if you need to do it, you know I need to sleep, because the older I get, the harder it is to come by. That's right. God, you know I want to do something for you, but I'm not telling you I want to be a convenient Christian. I'm not telling you to wake me up at my convenience, Lord. Let me do something for you at my convenience, because the truth of it is, most of us would never find a convenient time to do anything for God. Now, we'll find all kinds of time to golf. We'll find all kinds of time to fish or to hunt or to go camping or to go this and that and the other. Things that we enjoy doing. We tinker with our cars and we tinker with our toys and we do this and that and the other because that's what we want to do. And I'm convinced all of us do what we want to do. And if folks want to serve God, they will. If they want to do something for God, they will. And if they don't, they won't. That's deep. That's complex, ain't it? It's just the truth, friends. Whatever you want to do, you're going to do it. You might as well be honest and say amen to that, because we all do what we want to do. And what brings us pleasure, what brings us fun, what brings us relaxation, so on and so on and so on, is what we tend to do. And those things which don't bring us no fun, it causes us concentration and we have to really labor. Well, we kind of tend to put those things off on the far side, and then we wonder why God don't use us. Is it any wonder, you lazy outfit? Amen, Brother Donnie. Preach, Brother Donnie. Amen, Brother Donnie. I'm behind you. Praise God, Brother Donnie. Preach it. Oh, my. Notice again in 2 Thessalonians 3:13, Paul must have felt a necessity to write it to the church of Thessalonica as well. But ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Now, we know that all of us go through times of weariness and great exhaustion, to be honest with you, spiritually, because of being becoming so depleted by giving, ministering, and every one of us that are called to be Christians are called to be servants. And we know that each of us are called in those avenues, and it takes the Spirit of God to help us. Notice in Job chapter 10, verse 1, Job said, "My soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul." Now, here's a man that has become so despondent because God is letting him go through tremendous things and God hasn't told him why. God has not answered him and said, "God, you know, please help me, God." And God's just holding his peace. And it's when God is silent that the devil loves to talk to you. Psalm 6:6, "I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxes old because of mine enemies." This is a man that knew such joy. This is a man that knew such victory. But this is a man that knew the depths of despair. Notice the Lord Jesus, St. John 12, 27. "Now is my soul troubled." Are you sure you were ready for the meaning of this word? To agitate, to cause one inward commotion, to take away his calmness of mind, disturb. Ecumenity. I practiced that word several times and I still didn't get it right. To disquiet, to make restless, to stir up, to strike one's spirit with fear and dread. The Lord Jesus is now troubled. By the doubt, his spirit is struck with fear and dread. To render anxious or distressed, to perplex the mind of one by suggesting scruples or doubts. I love it when he walked on water. I love it when he raised the dead. But I really love him for experiencing this. I don't know about you, this described the way I've been in my life before. To where your mind is scrupled up and you don't understand and you're trying to sort through where you are or where your family is or what more is going on. Remember, the Lord Jesus has been there and done that. Amen. And he is still our high priest that we can go to when we don't know what to do and we become agitated and upset and we just don't know what to do and your mind becomes full of scruples. You can go to your great high priest and he says, I understand. I understand. I felt that same way when I was a mortal. I've shared this with several ministers, this quote in Remembering the Lord. Brother Ram says, you don't get these gifts just to have a lot of fun out of them. That's right. After all, there's many that talk about gifts that I'm sure from the way they act, don't even know what it is. That's right. You watch people and they're called to do this and that. Just watch them and that'll tell you whether or not they're even called or not, or the devil's pulling their leg. Gifts of God and things are not something that's just to be played with. The gifts of God are gracious and they're weary. What two adjectives in the very same sentence, what a contrasting of the English language that he chose by the Spirit of God to choose and show us gifts of God. That gifts of God are gracious and weary. They're wearisome. In the presence of God, it's not shouting. The presence, that's just God's blessings he pours upon you. But the presence of God is a troublesome thing. Oh, you said, wow, in the service we had today, boy, I was looking for shouting, but all I felt was trouble. Well, the difference was you was in the presence of God instead of getting the blessings of God. But you see, many times we don't understand that and we walk out of those doors thinking, my, what was the service? God put you in his presence. And it might have made you feeling weary. It might have left you feeling really troubled and really something going on inside of you. And all you wanted to leave on a bubble dance going out on a high. God said, you don't need a high. You need a low today. You need to really lower yourself down and get into my presence and humble yourself and feel like Jacob did. Oh, he said, I've seen God. I've seen God in this place, and it is a terrible place. Uniting time and sign, one of the main, my main things that's always hurt me through my life has been a nervous condition. That when I get so worn, I get real weary. Kind of feel like nobody cares for you, know? You have it too. And I just happen to have a real overdose of it. Well, I want to ask you to raise your hands, but I know from looking at some of y'all got a big overdose of this too. Oh my, real overdose, you know, and it gets real bad sometime, and it's tension. And that's what does it. I get to a spot that when many times, especially with so many of those visions you see, it's just me. And I look at a person, I think, is this a vision? No, it isn't. Yes, it's not. And you see, you just don't realize what a price that goes with that. So then you wonder, then you get to thinking, well, you get off your side and you say, well, what have I done? Here I am, I'm 50 years old, I've done nothing for the Lord. Now, there's either one of two things you're going to believe about this statement. He was an absolute bald-faced liar. Or this man is speaking the truth in the way he felt like about what he had done. I believe the latter. Anybody who goes around bragging and blowing of what all they are and what they've done is an empty windbag. They're nothing. Pay no attention to them. Even the devil don't pay much attention to people like that. They don't really need a good case of the devil. They've already got it in their flesh. They're so anointed with the devil. That's the same spirit that got the devil kicked out of heaven. Praise God. It ain't how big you are. It ain't how wonderful you are. How big I am. It's how big our God is. We are nothing. I want you to listen to this. Brother Ben, he says, I'm getting old and oh my, you just get what we used to call the blues. The blues. Some of you brethren about my age remember what they used to call have the blues. Now, this wasn't the music that originated from Memphis. Pop used to talk about it, and I wondered what he meant. And I sure know what he meant. Now you imagine, here's Brother Branham, a prophet of God, that has seen, my, such great things with God, and Brother Branham got depressed and got the blues. Well, all these folks that live so high up in the heavens and they never have battles and they never go through anything, not even more than likely even filled with the Holy Ghost. If the devil never bothers you, it's a good sign. He's got you already. Oh my. Notice this. So then you get to feeling that way, which none of it is true. No. There's no way that I'm so deceived that I'm feeling so despondent and so blue and so down and all this. None of it is true. You mean I'm believing all of this and I'm believing a lie? Praise be to God. Not it is true, it's just. Oh, you mean so the problem is really me? No, that can't be. Not me. I'm the most wonderful, humble, exorbitant, beautiful, holy child of God. You're on dope. You ain't filled with the Holy Ghost. When are we ever going to realize it, friends? Our biggest enemy is ourselves. Whew. Notice this in Divine Healing, 1954. He said, I get so easy to become discouraged. Because I see things and it's wrong and I can't straighten it. And there's no need of me trying to do it. And there's just no need of just like arguing with that brother about his book. You never get nothing by arguing. I wish we'd learned that. You never get nothing by arguing. So Brother Branham would become discouraged because he'd see things wrong and he couldn't fix them. Now please don't misunderstand me today. You mothers and fathers, you husbands and wives, all of us as individuals, we're going to have to come to a spot in Jesus Christ that if your husband don't go on, you're going on without him. If your wife don't go on, you're going on without her. If your kids don't go, you're going on without them. Look, Happy Valley, I love you with all of my heart, but I'm going on with or without you. I am not. You're not holding me back. You're not keeping me back. You're not keeping me from having a Holy Ghost revival in this end time of the word. Oh, but Brother Donnie, you're too old. I'm not too old. I can have revival. Me and Jesus is all I need for a Holy Ghost revival. I'm having one with or without you. Oh my, do I become discouraged? Sure, I see wrong. No matter how much I preach, I can't straighten you out. So I'm going to preach it anyway. God told me years ago in Pentecost, you preach my word, though their foreheads become as hard as flint, their attitudes become as adamant and rebellious as Satan. You preach my word, I will bless you no matter what people do. That's been a principle that I have applied all these years of my life. Praise the Lord. Can I go on? Notice again, he said, you know, the devil takes advantage of you when you get tired or wore out. He does you the same way. You just get a little tired and wore out and you get discouraged. So that little fox watches you and you're getting really tired. Boy, the job, it's just, you know, it seems like everything. No matter who you talk to, everybody's under such pressure. We're all a walking pressure cooker. Y'all know what a pressure cooker is, don't you? So go stand on the thing, and that little thing jiggles on the top of it. So you pull over in front of somebody, you missed your turn, and you pull over in front of them, and the little jingle blows out. They're ready to pull you over on the side of the road. They're ready to look, friend. We're living in a world that's on the verge of explosion. We are living among people that have gone insane. And that's, let's just say it this way, not only them people out yonder, but that tension builds around us as believers. It builds in a family, it builds in a home, it builds in a church. But I'm glad we've got a place we can run to let off the pressure. Notice this, certainly, he caught Jesus right at that weak spot. Tried and weary, laying on the back of the boat, rocking around. You imagine Jesus as a man now. Jesus allowed himself to be tired and weary. And Satan got him at the weak spot. So his disciples, care you not that we perish? So he gets up. Oh, one prayer line's killing me. Oh my goodness. So he gets up as a man. Oh, I wish y'all let me alone. I could have got my nap out. Peace be still. And the water heard the voice of its creator. The hydrogen and the oxygen and the molecules began to go around and around and around of the devil which had got in that wind. And the wind heard the voice of its creator. He stepped up to the bow of a ship like a man. He was laying there in the back of the ship like a man. He rubbed his eyes like a man, because he was. But when he stepped to the bow of that ship, he was more than a man. He stood there before the tomb of Lazarus as a man who wept for his friend. But when he stood there and said, Lazarus, come forth, he was more than a man. He stretched his arm and died on the cross. He died as a man, but when he got up from that grave, my brother, sister, he was more than a man. May I bring it on down? You was a man or a woman when you got saved. You was a man or a woman when God started dealing with you. But one of these days, you're going to realize you are more than a man. You are more than a woman. You're a daughter of God. A son of God. Notice this in the second-handed robe. God has set in the church some apostles, some prophets, some teachers, some evangelists and pastors. God does that himself. I can show you where God set them in. You show me where God took them out, not some bishop from the headquarters. We cannot make one hair black or white, neither can we add one thing to our stature by taking thought. God in his infinite grace, by his election and foreknowledge, set things in order, and every wheel works just right. I like that. I would be a discouraged man this morning if I didn't believe. You realize how blessed you are in this church? To hear election, predestination, ordination. Do you understand that as discouraged and down as we become, if you didn't hear election right, you'd be even more discouraged than you are. I can't imagine for people who say they believe this message and fight the teaching on election. They must be a real discouraged people. Election is not, oh my, it's not set in the church to make you sin. It is set in the church to enlighten you to God's way and to encourage you when you get down. Amen. I would be a discouraged man this morning if I didn't believe in the election and calling of God. If I thought this world was left to the outcome of it by the power of man, by the wisdom of man, by the big fours and the UNs and who knew you never mentioned God's name, I'd be a discouraged person. Wouldn't you hate to think that it was the Democrats that's going to deliver us from Trump? And then the Republicans, once they get in, the Republicans will deliver. You see it as well as I do. The Democrats get in, the folks get tired of them, and then they vote in the Republicans. And they let them in 4 years, and they get tired of them. Why, they're all a bunch of liars anyway. They're a bunch of liars. The answer, our answer is not politics, it's God. Brother Donnie, I've got so much to discourage me. I'm not saying you don't, friends. But let's take a journey this morning. Let's journey into the pages, the annals of history. 2 Corinthians 11:23, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, oft. How many of y'all believe Jesus loved Paul? Why is he letting him go through all this? Now, I'm sure that this must have been very difficult for Paul, because he was a humble man. But Paul feels the need to defend his call because he's being attacked by the Judaizers. So they're coming in after Paul and the other men of God has established this work of the kingdom of God. And these men are trying to come in and take over what God has done through Paul. So Paul feels the need to give actually a little bit more enlightenment of what he had been through. Now, this is the only place in the entire canon of Scripture, the New Testament, and also history, that you'll find some of these things that we're going to read this morning. Now, Luke took, of course, the book of Acts and wrote down many of the things in Paul's life. Whether or not Paul wanted to share those things with Luke, or whether Luke was privy to them or not, or Paul just said, don't write that now. It might not have been the time. But now apparently was the time. Now, I don't have a newspaper article to be able to authenticate what I'm going to read to you this morning. I don't have any scientific proof that these things happened. I do not have any geological records. I've not found any rocks or anything with all these things engraved upon them. So if you need that, I guess this won't be a blessing to you. But I personally don't need it. If Paul said it, it's good enough for me. I trust some of y'all feel the same way. Now, you know, I want you to notice how that Paul is saying this, and don't take it now that he's trying to gratify his flesh and try to justify himself. But he says, if they are ministers of Christ, I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors, more abundant. Now, Peter was a great man, Andrew was a great man, and these men were great men. But notice Paul is now saying, in labors, I am more. In taking fatiguing journeys and putting my body under this constant labor of torment. All the other brothers have done good, this and that and the other, but I have done more than them. And Happy Valley said, amen. You know, it makes me sick to my stomach, some of these people around the message that want to worship Brother Branham and basically make a god out of him. And they want to put Peter and James and John and Paul and all the rest of these people under the rug, as if they never done nothing for the kingdom of God. Let me tell you something, you poor deluded individual. God ordained these men, and they are men that had such an understanding of the economy of God that the foundations of the city are going to have their name engraved in it. Paul is not some little idiot child that God didn't love. God thought highly of this man and still does. Oh my. In labors, notice this, he says, in stripes above measure. Now, wait a minute. Now, he's not being pulled out to a post because he was found with the deacon's wife. They wasn't whipping Paul because they found him down at the gambling joint, or because they found him drinking on the side or running around. They beat him because of the cause of Christ. He was beat more than Peter. He was thrown in jail more than Peter. Well, come on now. His revelations far superseded Peter's understanding of the word. So a man who claims he has such great understanding and doesn't have a trials to match it, forget it. He's a liar. God never gives a man an abundance without all kinds of tests and thorns that goes with those revelations. In prisons, he says, more frequent. Of course, at Philippi, at Jerusalem, also in Rome. Clement, which was one of the early church fathers who wrote at the end of the first century, says that Paul, he wrote an epistle actually to the Corinthian church, and he said that Paul was in prison 7 times. I wonder if any of this ever led to discouragement. Now, could any of us be arrested once for the gospel of Jesus Christ? Now, not because you hadn't paid your taxes, or because you'd, you know, run over somebody and killed them, or hit somebody between the eyes, or lost your temper, or road rage, or something like that. Don't blame that on the gospel. Oh, I got fighting mad and I run something out. No, I'm suffering for the glory of God. I'm going to witness to somebody while I'm in jail. Well, praise the Lord. 7 times. Why? This man, don't God love him? Don't God care for him? How can you measure love by imprisonment? How can you measure love by man beating, being beat with stripes, with rods, with cords? And if we get sick and God don't heal us almost immediately, we're thinking about quitting. If God lets one of our loved ones leave this world by cancer, let one of our loved ones leave in a terrible, terrible, say, car accident or something like that. I mean, we're just ready to throw in the towel. I just don't understand why God. Well, where do you get this idea that we are free from such stuff? Tell me, friend, where is the scripture? Where is the quote that says Christians will never get cancer? Please stand and give me the page and paragraph. Somebody please stand and tell me where Christians are exempt from trouble. My Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. But we go through things in this soft Laodicean age and we're ready to quit. Oh my. 7 times in prison. I liken this last term here. He said, in deaths oft. He was so close to the point of death so many times that he likened it as if though he had died several deaths. With death being so close and so imminent. Notice this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 7. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you also be of the cost or the consolation. You want the consolation of Christ, the glory of Christ? It comes by one way, not by visions. It don't come by speaking in tongues and you having great sensations and emotions. It comes by suffering for the cause of Christ. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, borne down, weighted down by calamity, exceedingly, super imminently. This is a common term that Paul used in the Greek Aramaic language. Common term that he used over and over again. It was so great, he said, that I couldn't even bear it. I was pressed beyond the measure of my human strength. I was at the place I wasn't sure if I'd even survive. Pressed out of measure, above strength. In so much that we even despaired, even of life. And now remind me, what was it that he had done wrong to deserve all this? Adultery, fornication, lies, false doctrine, loyalty, trust, faithfulness, purity of heart, sanctification. You mean, Brother Donnie, when you get that, you get this? Right. Yeah, you got it. The more loyal, the more testing. But we think in our mind, the closer people are to God, and the more they love God, and the more they serve God, they're freer and freer and freer. You're listening too much to the smiley preacher. You need to change channels. You need to take your remote and get off that old boy and find a preacher that's telling you the truth. Oh, I know this ain't proper in this Laodicean soft 11-8, but friends, it's the gospel. How do you figure Paul? You imagine, could Paul ever get a revival in the Smiley Preacher's Church in Texas? Paul ever go in there and tell them, I was beat, I was whipped with rods, I was stoned, I was left for dead? That's my resume. I was so pressed beyond measure that it was above my human strength. As I sat this morning, Brother Wayne, I got to thinking about this man. I thought, God, how will I ever walk up to this man and put forth my hand or go to embrace this man who went through all that he went through? And I've done so little and went through so little. How can I ever meet such a man? Lord God, Second Corinthians 11:24, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Five times he was beaten by the Jews with 39 stripes. Some people never survived one time being beat with 39 stripes. Now, don't look for this anyplace else in the scripture and history, because you won't find it. Luke never mentioned it. It's none of the rest of the apostles. The apostles are or none in history. This is the only recorded place in the Bible. But one's enough for me. You see, most men of God never tell all they go through or all they ever understand. A lot of folks tell more than they understand and more than they go through, and they embellish it. That's never a true servant of God. A true servant of God always holds back, because it's not him to be glorified anyway. The book of Acts gives us the very epitome then. It is only a little bitty insight to the lives of these great men. Can you imagine when we get there and we see them and we go to shaking their hands and being with them, and we say, oh my. And God goes to unfolding all they went through. Not just the glories, but all that they went through for the cause of Christ. Can't you see why? He will not be beholding to any God called man. All they go through is not for their sake. It's for the sake of God's wife. Can you imagine God getting the preachers up in heaven and kicking them all out of heaven and say, you bunch of sorry preacher, how come you all preach instead of playing tapes? No, the people who have that attitude will be down in the other place. Then they can play all the tapes they want. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Five scourgings by his brothers, the Jewish people. Oh my goodness. Yet to look at it, you say, why would God let a man go through such? I'm not sure. But Brother Don, you mean you don't have all the answers? No. There's only one person that has all the answers. And he withholds a lot of the answers. Until we get there, and then we'll be able to know all the answers. So you pray, God, why? How come, God? What have I done? What have I done? This was the most loyal, the most faithful, the most revelated apostle that ever stood on the earth. This is part of the cost of being that. People want my position in the message? I wish you had it. People want Brother Tim Pruitt's position, Brother Ron Spencer, some other men that they look at. Oh man, I wish I was that guy. I wish I could do this. I wish I... They don't have a clue. Why would God allow such a man? Verse 25, thrice was I beaten with rods. Now the rods was a Roman punishment, not a Jewish. The Jews used cords, stones, and whips. But the Romans used rods. Now you're talking about a rod 18 to 24 to 30 inches long, about the size of your finger, something like that, made out of real hard wood. Each time they would hit your flesh, and they knew how to do it and rip it across your back, and the pain would just emaciate through your entire body. And this man was beaten. Again, I say, not for adultery, not because he was a liar, but for the cause of Christ. And when we get to heaven, Paul is going to sit down over here, and he ain't going to be nobody. And Brother Branham and his two sons is going to be the main men. And you know, the main men who was around Brother Branham, you need to get a life. You need to realize we are only a small part of what Almighty God has done down through the ages. God never sent Brother Branham for us to idolize him or worship him or put everybody else down and say, oh, Brother Branham was this and that and the other. He was a God-called man. He was a God-called prophet, but he was not our God. He never, never pointed us in that direction. As long as I've got breath, I'll fight that deity spirit. Because that's exactly what it is. Thrice beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. But isn't this the God that he's serving that protects his people and watches over his people? The same God that you driving down the highway, a drunk may come over and hit your car and say, well, I'm a Christian. So? Are you saying Paul wasn't? Friends, we have fabricated a bunch of this nonsense, and it's time we get rid of it. Children of God are going to be tried. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be hated. Not for your own pride and arrogance, but for the gospel's sake. Any of y'all discouraged yet? I mean, you've been thrown in jail 7 times in prison. You've been whipped. You've been beat by rods. Everybody okay? You've been stoned. Now, let's just take Paul's name out and put your name, Brother Dave. Let's put your name, Brother Randy. Brother Jim, let's put your name. You've been thrown in jail for the cause of Christ 7 times. You've been beaten. You've been stoned and left for dead. And the next time I see, how you doing? Doing pretty good. But you kind of got this limp about you. Brother, what happened? Did you fall? No, that was the fourth time that they beat me. It cut my tendon there in the leg. They come down off my back with that cat of nine tails. You ever been whipped with a cat of nine? Ooh, bad, bad. They take pieces of strips of leather and then they tie pieces of metal and glass on the ends of them. And then they tie you up to a post like this with your back all bent out. And then they go to beating on you like a drum. And they beat you 39 times. I believe it was the second or third time. That one Roman guy, and then the Jews, they hired big old guy, you know, Scythian type of guys, great old big guys, big muscular type guys. And they would take that whip and they can knock a fly off of a horse. So they'd take that whip and they'd pop it like that. Oh, you know what that feels like. And he popped it one time and hit that tin in the back of my leg and cut that right in two. So I got this slight limp. But boy, when I get anointed, it don't bother me. Hallelujah. I go to preach and the anointing comes down. I'm like, praise be to God. Can you imagine what this man's back looked like?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Can you imagine the scars? Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep.
Amen.
And you're doing this who for Paul? Help me, Paul, here too. Oh, this is all for the Lord Jesus. Oh, this is the mighty God, right? Right. He controls the winds and the waves and... Oh, it's the same Lord Jesus that stood on the bow of the ship there and spoke to the winds and the waves and told it to be still. Yeah, that's him. Well, how come he let your ship be shipwrecked? You mean you survived in the deep a night and a day? Y'all was out there on a plank hanging on in the salt water. And every now and then I'd get so weak and tired and I'd go down. Oh God, please help me, God. And I'd pull back up again on that board and say, thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. So what would you do? Tell you one thing, if I get back to the ship, I'm serving the devil. I get back to shore, I'm denying Jesus. Why would you want to deny him now? He's brought you through all this. And you're going to go back and serve the devil? in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers. It wasn't like he ever had much to take. I imagine some of the time, Brother Keith, when they got done with him, they give him an offering. He said, where are you going to? I'm going to Rome. I'm going to Crete. I'm going here. He said, you ain't even got no money for your passage. I know I'm going to faith. He said, here's your $5. What are you doing this for? Jesus said, well, you ought to work for a richer man than Jesus. Can you imagine all the promises that Satan must have used against him to try to confuse his mind and use other people? This God that, oh, come on the scene and spared Peter. Peter went down into the deep and Jesus only left him there for just a few minutes. And he left you in a day and a night. And you were so sick. The waves are going back and forth. There you were on that board calling on the name of the Lord. Oh Lord God, send a ship my way. God, I'll settle for a fish. You sent Jonah a fish. Please, God, help me. No fish in sight. Please, God, a fishing boat. Please help me, God. What have I done? Tell me, God. And us Laodicean babies, we go through a little something and we're contemplating where we're fixing to quit serving God. Friends, we need to get eternal life in us. We move beyond this thing. If you ever become born again, the thought never enters your soul again of ever looking back. It's impossible. You're sealed to the day of your redemption. Perils of waters. And perils of robbers. You know, even if they didn't get anything, they could still rough you up. And Paul wouldn't hit them back. So they'd box him in the face and he'd just turn his cheek. And that, it must have been one of Jesus guys. You imagine him trying to just knock him down. His nose would be bleeding. His eye all swole up. Say, Lord, where are you? You told me you'd never leave me. God, I don't understand. I'm going through all this. What have I done? Next time you get real discouraged, I'd advise you to read these verses. And you'll say like I did this morning, I ain't been through nothing. In perils by my own countrymen. Not just robbers and thieves. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. Jerusalem, Damascus, Antioch. Did the man ever have a peaceful day? The only peace was in Jesus. How can a man take this for years and years? And years and years. Gonna go on. Perils in the wilderness. Perils in the sea. Want of provision and perils among false brethren. Oh my. Everywhere he went, Brother Terry. In weariness, verse 27. In weariness and painfulness. The word means to be beat and cut. Traveling, exposure from traveling and labor and want. I thought the Bible said he'd never seen the righteous forsaken. Nor his seed begging for bread. Don't you believe, my brother, sister, the devil don't know how to quote the word. You imagine how many scriptures that the devil said, hey, you, yeah, you, apostle, you that was carried beyond the curtain of time, you. God loves you, right? Oh, he's your protector. Yes, he's your protector. Where is he now when you're out in the middle of this ocean, floating around on this board? Imagine Paul can answer back, well, I may not feel him. I may not see him. But he's got to be around me or the sharks that don't eat me up. I don't care where you are, what you're going through. If faith is in your heart, you'll find a positive way to express God's greatness. Or you can feel sorry for yourself and hang on to that board till you get back and quit serving God. Or you can say, the Lord give and the Lord took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I don't know why I'm here, but I know he's here with me. And if he's here with me, I'll be able to make it. Paul, are you ready to quit yet? Oh, you're so discouraged and so down, you're going to go back and become a great Pharisee. Be no turning back. Be no turning back. Painfulness. A painful effort laboring to produce sorrow. In watchings often. Up all hours of the night. Prayers for the saints. Study for the word. And oh yeah, remember the pillar of fire when it met him. It left him with a slight disability in his eyes. Where he had to squint. And he said, this letter that I have written by my own hand, I wrote it in large letters. So he couldn't see very well. So he had to make big old letters to write it. And he'd squint. Maybe rub his eyes and his ears would get so tired and red. And he'd write it. He's trying to write it down. God, why don't you heal me? Lord, I'd be able to write this so much better if you'd help me. Please heal me. You're the same God. I've seen you open the blinded eyes. I've seen you, God, raise the cripple. God, why won't you heal me? Please, God, amen. Help me. Paul, are you ready to quit? Donnie, are you? Aaron, are you? Dal, are you? What about it, brothers and sisters? Are you? In watchings often. In hunger and thirst. Isn't this the God who supplied water out of the rock? Manna out of heaven, quails after that. And he let this apostle, prophet, church age messenger, be so thirsty and feel the pangs of hunger in his stomach. How many days, weeks, however long? We don't know. Well, he had a lot to be discouraged about. Praise the Lord. In hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and naked. Some of y'all get cold. Only time it is when you're in church. When you go to a restaurant to eat. But Paul was cold and naked. Barely enough clothes to cover his private part. Is not this the God who said, delight thyself also in the Lord. I'll give you the desires of your heart. Was not this the same God who said, what have you asked in my name? I'll do it. But God, I don't want no Cadillac. I don't want no chariot of horses. Could I just have some clothes? Maybe he wrote to one of the brothers and said, remember when you come, bring those books and bring that cloak, would you? It's getting cold up here. It's only cold of God. God have mercy. Here we sit today with changes of clothes. Two or three vehicles. Several pairs of shoes. Amen. This and that and the other in our lives. Yes, how will we stand before people? That's right. Like this. You see, our battle, Brother Aaron, is a different battle. It's not what we don't have. It's being able to balance what we do have and still stay godly.
Can I have a few more minutes? I can see him sitting outside.
Satan said, he's a good God, ain't he? Shut up. He owns all the gold in the hills and all the cattle on the hills, and he ain't even give you a tater. You'll probably take flu. You'll probably get chills tonight, you Holy Ghost preacher. You great apostle of Jesus Christ. You're a fool, man. When are you going to acknowledge that you're a fool? You've been deceived. Shut up, devil. I'm going to sleep. Ain't you discouraged, Paul? Not by any means.
Think about it. Glory.
And my heart, it must have been for a wet, Brother West, for a man like this who was born a man in genteel situations. A rich man's son. A rich man who was taught by Gamaliel. A rich man who had so many things. But once he accepted Jesus, his daddy, according to history, disowned him and acknowledged him as being dead. He was never allowed to see him again. So he's traveling around as a vagabond. Now, if you'd been born in a slum wouldn't be no problem to you, would it? But can you imagine you're born in a nice home, had nice transportation to church? You might not have had the best clothes, but they were decent, they were clean, they were nice. Then you're thrown out in the street and you become homeless. Paul became the homeless vagabond preacher. And yet, he didn't become discouraged. Praise be to God. Let me find a place to close. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. The care of all the churches. You see, friends, Brother Branham never had to deal with this aspect. No, there was no message churches. There was a Branham Tabernacle. Perry Green started one in 1965 in a little tape group, which really wasn't an apostolic church. A tape church is not an apostolic church. You shouldn't say that. Oh, but I should. It's not apostolic. Brother Branham never, I've never, ever, ever found one place Brother Branham ever laid hands on a tape player and said, preach the word. He laid hands on men that were ordained of God to speak the word. You can't persecute a tape player. What are you going to do? Pull one of his batteries out? Praise be. Boy, that's a good one. Thank you, Jesus. So when dissension started coming among the churches, Paul heard the church at Corinth. He heard the church of Philippi. He heard the church at Galatia. Brother Branham never had to deal with that. Can you imagine the weight that would be on Brother Branham now if he knew the stuff, the message people were believing and preaching about him? That he's the third Adam? That he's going to sit beside the Lord Jesus in the millennium? Where do we get this rotten Tommy rot? Paul kept right on journeying. Let me close with this in verse 29. Who is weak? Am I not weak? Who is offended? And I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Archias, the king kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket, I was let down by the wall and escaped his hands. First century elevator. But it only works one way. I've been run out of a few places. I've been run out of places where I couldn't come back and preach. I've been run down, talked about, all that sort of thing. That's nothing compared to what these men went through. You've been ridiculed, you've been made fun of, you've been laughed at. Next time we get to feeling sorry for ourselves, we might need to drag out this blessed old book called the Bible and go to reading what some of those saints went through and realize you are blessed. We are blessed. So some of you dealing with sickness in your body, pain, whatever more. Are you at the place you're ready to quit?
No.
You prayed and asked God about this and that and other for so long and God hadn't answered it and Satan said, well, you might as well just quit. You ready to quit? No. You look in the Word of God and say, what have I got to lose? I was nothing when He found me. I'm still nothing if He don't help me. Praise God. Discouraged? Oh yeah, we get discouraged, but we ain't going to stay that way. We're going to get up. Paul said, whatsoever state I have found myself in, I've learned to be content. Wow. Out in the middle of the deep, hanging on a plank, and you're content. Hardly no clothes on, and you're chilling, freezing. Your belly's empty. And your mouth is dry and parched. He said, praise God, could be worse. I don't know how right now, but I'm sure it could. Hey, I know what it is. I could not have this plank. Yes, sir. Thank you, Jesus. God, forgive us. Lord Jesus, thank you for helping me today. As I sat this morning studying this, I wasn't sure if I'd be able to keep my composure. Thank you for breaking it up, Lord, for what lays in front of us in Hebrews 11. Dear God, forgive me for complaining. Forgive me, Lord Jesus. Forgive us, not just me, but your people here and those that will hear this service. Forgive our complaining, our grumbling, our trials of life. Oh, Lord Jesus, in comparison to what Paul went through, what you went through, I'm sure Paul would say it's nothing. Thank you for allowing him to write this. Imagine after he wrote it and sent it to the Corinthian church, no doubt he really battled and thought, should I have said that? Should I even disclose that? Maybe I shouldn't have said it. Maybe I should have just left it alone. But thank you, Lord, for letting him write it. No doubt it's been a blessing to your people for 2,000 years. I trust today it was a blessing again to more of your saints. Forgive us, Lord Jesus. Forgive us, Lord, that whenever we go through things and we go to questioning why this and I don't understand and how come this and that and the other. Forgive us, Lord. Remember. We're just humans. Remember us, Lord, that we're frail. We're still captured in this body, this tabernacle of humanity. No wonder Paul said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? We know it was the way of the king Mezentius and others. When they would go in and conquer their enemies, that they would take a dead man and chained to a live man as a means of punishment.
So everywhere that man went, he would have to tote around that dead man. So when he'd go to sit down and eat breakfast, there was the carcass of that dead man laying on the floor. When he laid down at night, there was that dead man. For many of them, they never survived it. It was a slow, painful death. Because the maggots would get over on their body and the stench would become so horrible, they'd get where they couldn't eat. And they'd vomit and they'd themselves die a terrible death. Lord God, help us to realize in reality today, we're not too far from that. We become born again, there's something inside of us that becomes rejuvenated. But we're still chained to a dead man. The part of us that's not born again, this old human part. As I shared it with the church not long ago, whenever Paul was released from prison in Rome, but there had to constantly be a Roman soldier chained to him. Everywhere Paul went, the soldier was there. Paul was free to go to church, but the Roman had to go. So, of course, when they'd go to church, they wanted to hear preaching. So Paul would have to get up in the pulpit to preach. Up would walk that Roman beside him. Paul had been set on fire by the Holy Ghost. He couldn't stand there like a statue. He'd have to raise his hands and praise God. Well, if he's going to raise his hand, he's going to have to raise the hand of that dead man with him. That dead man might not have wanted to worship God. That dead man might not have wanted to go to church. But Paul wanted to go to church. So he'd say to the dead man, "You're going with me, Roman." It's the same with us. We come to the house of God today. Oh, glory to God. We brought that old dead man as it was with us. It's, "I'm tired. I don't want to worship God." Shut up, dead man. I need a hand to worship God, and yours is the closest I've got. So put her up in the air. "I need lips to praise God." And the dead man says, "I don't want to praise God." Shut up. "I need to borrow your mouth." Praise God. But one day we will do to this dead man what Paul could not do to the Roman, what the prisoners under Mezentius' reign could not do. We will lead this dead man to a body change. Praise God. It might be in church, it might be home, we don't know where it is, but one day the life that's in us that has made this dead man subject to the word, that life will turn us inside out. Praise God. That resurrection power that lives in us will take this dead man and lead him. Oh, I love the prophet, the way he says it, "And who is Melchizedek? Therefore, if you have died and entered into the theophany," what happens? You take the redeemed body, oh glory to God, to meet the theophany. You bring the theophany. There you're going to mix together. That's what we're waiting for, Lord. You take the redeemed body. You who? The attribute of God. You, the attribute of God, forced this body, this dead man, into a change. And we will take it to merge together in the theophany, the glorified body, and the gene of God, the true trinity of me. Oh, help us today, Lord. Lord, I've not preached these things here this morning to belittle or take away from any of the things your children go through. Because you know, Lord, many of the things they face is awful in this age. I'm not trying to take away from that. But to help them to realize you want to be their help. And one of the worst things that can happen to us is us go to feeling sorry for ourselves. And feeling like we're the only one and nobody's been this way but us. Help us to get rid of that old devil. It's just a sly old fox to feel sorry for ourselves. We love you, Lord Jesus. We lay it on the altar today in the presence of God. Praise God. Can we raise our hands? Can we just surrender to Him this morning? Hallelujah. Your burdens, your trials, your difficulties. Oh, go use it. Let me assure you, friends, I'm not trying to belittle what you go through. I'm not trying to belittle your burdens and your hardships and your trials. I'm not, but I want to point you to a God who has led our brothers and sisters in ways that we have never been before. How can I trust Him today? Because He was faithful yesterday. Amen. How can we trust Him in this church age? Because He's been faithful in the last six. Amen. He's been faithful since the dawn of time. You can trust Him. You can trust Him. Praise be to God. We worship You today, Lord Jesus. Tell that old dead man you need to bar his hands for a few minutes. Praise God. Can we raise the hands of this old dead man up in the presence of God? Can you bar his mouth and just tell the Lord how much you love him? How much you appreciate him sending your word, his word to you today. You love him, saints. You thank him for his word to try to encourage you, to try to help you. Praise be to God. Encourage your children today, Lord. Encourage the men of God. Encourage your pastors, your evangelists, every fold of the ministry, Lord, on the earth today. Encourage the laity. Encourage the deacons, the trustees, the staff of all the churches, Lord, around the world. Those workers that are in behind the scenes, as it were, oh God. Encourage your people. Lift the hands of your people, Lord God. Hallelujah. You told us to raise our feeble hands, so today we do so. In the presence of Almighty God, we receive strength. We receive encouragement. I pray you encourage these young people, Father. Encourage the middle age. Oh Lord, what a blessing it was to hear and see these young people singing for you today, God. How it so thrilled my heart to see them, Lord, instead of out there in the world, out there using their God-given ability to sing for the world, singing for the kingdom of God. Encourage them, Lord. Lift them up when they're down and weary, Father. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Sing something for us, Harry. Let's just worship him a little before we go. I'll let you go here momentarily. I know you're probably hungry and you're ready for lunch, but oh, to me, this is better than any lunchtime. Praise be to God. Let the Lord feed our souls. Let us then turn and minister back to him. Oh, praise be to God. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Mighty to be praised. Oh, great Adonai El Shaddai, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom. Our blessed Lord Jesus, we worship you today, oh God. We thank you for bringing us through all of our trials and all of our difficulties. Help us, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Worship you.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Almighty.
Oh, let's worship him together, saints. Hallelujah.
There is none.
I don't care how deep in despair you are today. You'll look around, you'll find something to praise him for. Maybe you're out on the sea and you ain't got but one Lord. But you got that one Lord to thank him for. You've got your breath to thank him for. You've got your life to thank him for. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed God. Thank you, Jesus.
That is what I want.
Hallelujah.
I worship you.
Bless it, God.
Almighty.
Almighty. Almighty God. Hallelujah.
There is none like.
Once again, before I let you go, everybody, I
worship you,
Almighty
God. There is none like you. I worship you.
I stand in awe within the presence of the Lord, in whom the wisdom of the ages lie, from whom the raging of the sea subsides, the living sacrifice.
Son of God, they're not denied. I pledge allegiance to the
give our allegiance to something. You're going to give your allegiance to this soft, lax Laodicean age. You're going to give it to a denominational compromise. You're going to give it to the world. You're going to give it to drinking. You're going to give it to drugs. You're going to give it to something. Why not give it to Jesus Christ? Pledge your allegiance, your loyalty, your faithfulness, everything you are to Him. God bless you. I love you today. Go in the fear of God. See you Wednesday, Lord willing. Let's sing it as we go. I pledge allegiance.
Now the time years have gone, and the years have gone, but the cause of Jesus today still goes on.